direct your attention to the scheduled reading, as you find in your bulletin, in that first portion as we continue our journey through the book of Deuteronomy. We have before us this week chapters 24 through 30. And this week's reading schedule concludes Moses' second address, running through chapter 26, and takes us into Moses' third address with instructions for the ceremony of blessings and curses, described in chapters 27 and 28, and continuing with final exhortations in chapters 29 and 30. Remember that these addresses are taking place in the plains of Moab, outside the Promised Land, as Moses continues to prepare the people for their calling of conquest and covenant keeping in the land. In chapter 24, we open with the law concerning divorce. Remember that Christ clarifies this command regarding divorce as an exception due to the hardness of their hearts due to sin, and not to be treated as a normal part of God's ideal in the marriage relationship. It is significant that the Lord provides, immediately after the case of divorce, protections for beginning a marriage well. In verse 5, a man is to be unhindered in public obligations for the first year of his marriage, so that his focus can be on bringing happiness to his wife. The chapter continues on, expanding across a wide range of moral and ceremonial concerns, from kidnapping to leprosy. Special attention is given to avoiding oppression in personal business and judicial affairs. This is a repeated theme of God's Word, and we should take note. These wide-ranging laws continue in chapter 25 with the addition of the law of what is called levirate marriage. Levirate marriage was commanded for the people as a way of preserving inheritance in the Promised Land. Remember the sacramental importance the Lord built into maintaining a family inheritance in the land under the Mosaic administration. It was a picture of one's possession of the promises of salvation. So, special provisions were made in the Mosaic Law to preserve a family line if one died without a son. There's also a special charge given for warfare against the Amalekites. This will play a pivotal role in the life of King Saul, as we find that recorded in 1 Samuel. Chapter 26 concludes the second address of Moses with special instructions for the giving of tithes as a thankful token in return to God who gave the blessing of increase. Again, the moral principle of tithing is given a particular ceremonial application under Moses, but continues to guide us in our understanding of the meaning of the tithe. The chapter concludes with a final summary exhortation from Moses. The people are reminded that they belong to God. They are his special people and have a special relationship with their Lord. The Lord has special and exalted purpose for them, and they must live in holy obedience to all that God has revealed. We must be mindful of how the Lord reveals his church to be the new covenant unfolding and expanding of these things revealed to the people of old. In chapter 27, we begin the final major address of Moses to the people of Israel with those special instructions for the ceremony of blessings and curses to take place on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. These instructions and the details of the curses and blessings continue through chapter 28. And in chapter 29, we begin the final review and exhortation of Moses to the people. God is renewing his covenant with them in a remarkably weighty way, a weighty manner. The Lord holds nothing back in the forcefulness of his exhortation through Moses. He assures the people of great blessings in the path of covenant faithfulness, but he also warns them in shocking terms of all that will come to pass by way of curses were profaning the covenant and walking in rebellion against their God. These exhortations continue through chapter 30 and powerfully demonstrate that this covenant of old was an administration of the covenant of grace. God's progressive unfolding of his work of salvation brought to fullness and completion in Christ. The shadowy administration of God's covenant still held forth Christ and still required faith and repentance in the use of God's ordained means of grace. As the people were urged in Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, to love God and to circumcise their hearts, here in chapter 30, they are assured that God will do this saving work, circumcising their heart and the heart of their children. And this is in the context of acknowledging a future where they could be driven out of their land in judgment upon their rebellion. God extends the promises of grace and restoration to them even there. Apart from a spiritually living work of God in the heart, this administration would become a message of death to them, even there in those foreign lands. Apart from that spiritual vitality that God would provide, this would be a letter of death to them, this covenant administration. As we hear the covenant message, I wish to read chapter 30 to you, and we must have in mind, as we hear that message, in the form of the old administration, let us hear with ears tuned to the covenantal truths continued and transformed in the new covenant. The shadows have been removed, and Christ has fulfilled all that was folded in to the old covenant. We still need the work of sovereign grace in our hearts. We are called to put off the old man and to put on the new in Christ Jesus. We are warned in strong terms against presumption, unbelief, and rebellion, even in the new covenant. And so we may hear with new covenant enlightened ears, as it were, these words in the form of the old and still be well instructed, nourished. We are empowered by the fullness of the revelation we have in Christ Jesus to hear this message, not only as the history of our spiritual ancestors, but also as a revelation of the persistent purpose of God to save a people for himself, to bless them with an ever-deepening knowledge of himself and an ever-increasing experience of his renewing and restoring grace. With these things in mind, let's stand together and hear chapter 30, the book of Deuteronomy. This is God's very word, holy, infallible, inerrant in all its parts. Let us hear and heed. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you and persecute you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated.